Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Sarah Wells.
Hello.
Weird.
And the return of Megan Jade Reed Mueller.
What?
What did I say?
Reed Mueller.
What did I say?
Something that isn't my name.
Let's just say in the return of Megan Jade.
Hello.
Megan, we have missed you over the past month. We know that you have had some transition in job things. How's it going up there?
It's great. I'm at Hume Lake, and my job has been really great, but it's been pretty busy.
For
and
sure.
So I'm on the downward side of that right now, so it's great. So I'm here, and I'm happy to be here.
You guys need to know how much Megan loves the Spoutcast, because she's going to drive an hour and a half every Monday just so you guys can hear her voice.
Oh. And, well, I'm not sure it's that as much as... I just really love you two.
That's why I do the show.
And so, Kevin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's dead to me right now.
Yeah, so. Kevin will not actually be here today. That is sad. But we do have Megan, and she is back, and we are looking forward to a good show. On today's episode... That was strange. On today's episode, we are going to be doing a sermon feedback, talking about relational health and inclusive community. We will then transition into some news. It will just be the three of us for the news segment. And we will
just like old times.
Just like old times. We will also have an interview with Jared Young, one of our extended family missionaries here at The Well. We'll do an interview segment with him, and then we'll actually do the one and why of favorite comedian after in kind of the last segment with announcements. So,
I doubt anyone would really notice that. How old are we separated the
how old? This is episode 30.
Yeah, I thought so. Hands
big
in,
deal.
Guys.
Big deal, hands 30 in. One, two, three,
30.
Go.
What do we do on 30?
I don't know why you said go, but that's weird.
One, two, three, go.
I don't know why I said it either.
In about 4.5 years, I'm going to be 30.
Wow.
That's creepy.
It's 6 years for me, so I got some time.
Ew, shut up.
Five years and one Woo. Month. Oh. That was a pound. He just pounded it.
All right, I'm the oldest. Listen to me, guys.
Well, during the show, you'll be listening to music from the band Switchfoot. Who?
What song are we listening to right now?
I am not sure. It's all off of their new album. And really, I haven't been a fan of Switchfoot since, what was that? The Beautiful Letdown or whatever
CD
was called.
That was the best.
And I liked the song, like, "No Look at the Star." You guys remember that song?
That had the best intro on that whole
CD. Great, great song. But other than that, I haven't really paid much attention to them until their new CD came out. And working with high school students, they love the new Switchfoot CD. So I heard about it, and I figured play it on the show. And we hope you guys enjoy that. Listen to some more Switchfoot and stay tuned for our sermon feedback, which comes up next. Glad you're back, Megan.
Thanks. Keep looking for the
Now, what I like about what he does, and I think here's the fun of the text. Notice in verses 10 and 11 what he does. And it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in his house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and with his disciples. What does he do? Does he go preaching? Does he begin to go share the message? Knocking door to door, handing out pamphlets, riding his bike around. No, what's he do? He throws a party for his buddies, and everybody comes over. And he cooks some sweet tri-tip. He didn't have any bacon yet, which is very disappointing. If you would have known, Matthew, how good bacon was, you would have had some pork. But he didn't do that. He's clean. So he cooked up some tri-tip. He had some buddies over, and they did life together. And in so doing, he began to demonstrate relational health, just like his rabbi.
All right, we are back, and we hope you enjoyed some Switchfoot. I just want to do a quick disclaimer before we get into the sermon discussion, because last week we actually kind of recorded on a different day, and Melissa Scroggins, I really don't know how to pronounce her last name, so maybe she
Scroggins.
Could help. Is it Scroggins?
For sure.
Okay. I actually don't know that for sure, but I can't think of any other way to pronounce it.
What I like about her emails, it says, you know, from Melissa Scroggins and then the two part, the two, the name for the spout, podcast@gmail.com, it says Spouters. I like that about it.
Oh, I like being called a spouter.
So anyways, we had just, Kevin had brought up, hey, if you have a way that you study your Bible or you read your Bible, please email us in. And so Melissa actually did, and we didn't get a chance to read it on the show last week, but she said, love the discussion from 2 weeks ago. Here's what I do. I've picked this from various people through the years, and this is kind of her way of, here's how I spend my quiet time. But I try to find 10 minutes where I can be quiet. I'm easily distracted by the TV, as am I, Melissa. I pick a book of the Bible and read a section from one Bible to the next, usually twice. I pick a verse or phrase that has jumped out to me and copy it in my journal. Then I try to delve deeper into that, why it jumped out, or is it something that I can work on, or just something I hadn't thought of before. Then I take some time to pray about it. That's
cool.
A great way
to
really
like that.
Yeah. She basically says, I go through the book as long as it takes, then pick a new book. So she's not trying to rest through chapter by chapter, just as long as it takes for her. I'd like to say that I do this every day, and I do try, but you know, life happens. Totally understand. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing, Melissa. So thanks for sharing with us as well, Melissa. It's just good to get, you know, different perspectives on that as well. But transitioning a little bit into this past week's sermon, which you just heard a clip from Brad, but essentially Brad talked about being in healthy relationships and inclusive community. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to know, I guess, is that's part of the anatomy of a disciple. And being up at Hume Lake, Megan, did you get a chance to catch the message?
I did.
Yeah. And just so listeners know, if you're up at Hume Lake ever, there is a church service on Sunday night, correct?
At 6:30, yes.
Awesome.
And it's the Well, so come and hear Brad at Hume Lake.
That's great. And so you guys have been going through this whole Anatomy of a Disciple series.
Yes. Same thing as you guys.
Love it. That's so great.
So you're so connected.
You are connected. Super connected. Sarah, did you get a chance to listen to the message as well?
Yes.
And so if you didn't listen to the message, I think this is a really good message.
I do too.
Yeah. And I could say a lot about it, but just to kind of summarize the message as well, basically, he talked about Matthew, and he talked about tax collectors, mm-hmm. talked about sinners of that day, and he talked about just a bunch of different people groups and how Jesus was relationally healthy with the 12 people he was with, and even with his family as well. But he was also, he had the mindset of being in an inclusive community, sitting and eating with the tax collectors and sinners. And Brad basically used Matthew as this example of a guy who was ultra wealthy and was called by Christ to follow him. So
I did not think that, I was totally expecting it to go a completely different direction that Brad took it, because he talked about healthy boundaries. And I did not imagine him talking about boundaries. And I like that he talked about it, but I thought he was going to go, I don't know, maybe more classic route. But because pastors don't normally talk about having boundaries with people, you know?
Right.
So, well, I thought it was really cool.
What's funny is I thought the exact same thing, but totally something different. Like, Brad started out in the beginning talking about a bunch of different people groups.
Which I loved. I loved that part of it.
Yeah. Okay. But I was like, where is he going with this?
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, he talked through maybe 6 or 7 different people groups and just their existence in the world of that day. And so I just thought, man, how's he going to tie this in? Where's he going to go from here? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of all made sense towards the end of it. But I totally felt the same way, Sarah. Yeah. So,
well, I think it's fascinating, too, like, even to start out with those people groups, because I think that within communities, you know, you generally tend to flock to people who are like-minded, who live lives like you do, who like the same things that you do, who do the same things. And within that community, I think a lot of those, like, those boundaries and that healthy, like, calling out and just the way that you do life with people, I think it sort of just all meshes together, and then you just become some big mob of a bunch of people who are doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at the Pharisees, like, they're just this group of people who were living life like the same, and no one within that group was saying or was challenging them and saying, hey, I think that we might be losing heart in the fact that, well, whatever, you know.
Totally.
And so I think it was really interesting to think about those people groups and think about situations in my life or in communities that I'm in, and see, like, are we just a bunch of people who accept coarse joking, who accept drinking, and we call this community, and we go out and we drink together, and we go out and we make fun of people, or we do all of these things together, and no one calls it out because we're all like-minded within this group. And I started to think through just communities I've been a part of. And I just thought it was so great that Brad brought that up, because he said something specifically like, when you're in those communities, if you're not calling each other out, that's not being in a loving community. That's not doing life together. That's just accepting.
That's just sinning together.
Right. You're just sinning together. You have a license to sin with your friends.
Well, and sorry.
No. And I just thought that was just really convicting for me to just constantly be constantly thinking through community and what it looks like. And are your friends really your friends, or are you doing life together, or are you just existing with license together?
Totally.
It's like when I found myself when you're with a bunch of people, you all know each other's hearts. Like, you allow yourself to do things. Oh, they know my heart, so I can do this. They know that I don't really mean to say this, so I can say it because they know who I am. And to some degree, there is truth there. You can be yourself and you can process through things, but it's like an excuse to sin together, like what you're saying. Like, why don't we call each other out and hold each other to a higher bar and a higher standard?
I completely agree with all that. My only pushback is I think that it's sad to say I've grown up with kind of the same 8 friends since I was 18.
That's not sad to say.
Well, not sad to say, that's
mine and Sarah's life.
But I'm still well connected with a lot of them. My groomsmen and I are, you know, we get together once a year. We spend quality time together. But I think that our friendship and our relationship at 18, really, a lot of us were young in our faith. Mm-hmm. It really started there. It started with joking. It started with, not drinking, but really just, doing things that had nothing about, nothing religious revolved around it at all. We'd play board games together. Nothing was uplifting. But we now have those sweet memories of each other. And we have these times together that, yes, we weren't uplifting each other in the Bible. And I don't disagree with any of that. I think that relationships need to form. And if your relationship starts forming just based on you calling each other out, I don't know how quickly you're going to have more of an appreciation and love when someone calls you out on something.
Well, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, because it's not like you become friends with someone and start calling each other out. You have a foundation.
I think my friends and I have worked to a place over the last 6 years where we can be very honest with each other. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to sit here and say that we were an inclusive community and had relational health within year one.
Oh, I would agree with that. And I would also say, I think that friendships look so much different now than at 25 when I'm making a friend,
right,
versus when I was 18. I've had the same 2 best friends since I was 12 years old. And so our relationships look so different. And I don't think there would have been health within our friendships had we each not gone away and been a part of other communities. And I would say the same for you. Like, you got married, you moved away from Santa Cruz.
Right.
You moved away from those guys. And when you come back together, you have those relationships that have developed over time, but they probably wouldn't have had you stayed in that community this whole time.
Totally.
And you know what I mean? And I think that there have been other influences in your life that have gotten you to a place where you guys can call each other out. And there's obviously that history that's really great. But right. I think that inclusive community happens with growth that happens outward too. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
obviously.
Totally.
And I kind of went, okay, what... I think that's great that I have friends that we have a lot of history and a lot of whatever. I've known most of my friends for most of my life. But at the same time, I don't want to meet a group of people now and think, oh, well, we're still getting to know each other, so we should all allow ourselves to do this and that.
No, I don't disagree with that either.
Because I'm building a foundation,
I totally disagree. I'm with you. Okay. I'll put it that way. I just think that what I don't want for someone to hear is that, relationships can't happen naturally, and then I think the relationships need to happen naturally. Mm-hmm. And being a part of an inclusive community, I think, is that I don't think Jesus just walked in and sat down with Matthew for dinner and whatnot and just all of a sudden started calling people out. You know what I mean? I think it took him some time, some relationships, sometimes he called people out right away. Oh yeah. But I think he was trying to develop a relationship with Matthew as well. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that you see that a lot. Mm-hmm. I just think if I were to join a life group, I wouldn't want to be called out right away. You know what I mean? I want to develop a relationship.
And it's easier to hear correction when you know who's giving you the correction.
And that person loves you.
Yeah.
Totally.
Someone who I don't know is going to correct me, I'm not going to listen to a word they're saying. But if people that I love, you guys were to say, Sarah, I see this, I'd say, oh, okay, you're right. And then I'd actually go think about it.
Totally.
So,
but I also think that I think that Jesus did a really great job of establishing who he was in their lives before a lot of that relationship happened. Like, he goes to Matthew and says, follow me.
Right.
Like, he sets a precedent right there. Like, I'm a leader. I'm the truth. Like, this is what you should be doing.
Right.
Like, follow me. And then develops a relationship after that. In the same way that, like, when I enter into a life group, I'm going to say, these are the things I stand for. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this together.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, like, a process in the same direction. But if I just show up to some, like, random arcade, I don't know why I picked arcade.
Do you hang out at the arcade?
I don't. She's but a nickel arcader. If I did, if I, like, showed up at the arcade and there's, like, this, you know, 19-year-old girl that's, like, smoking with her, like, boyfriend. It's not the same thing where I say, like, hey, guys, this is who I am. Let's do life together. It's, like, I wouldn't establish myself that way. Does that make sense? Like, you establish yourself in a life group. I'm like, this is where I'm going.
Yes, totally.
And then let's do this together. So totally. I don't know if that makes sense, but
I was just talking to a friend today actually about, like, I wish that I could have been a fly on the wall to hear the conversations that Jesus had with non-believers.
Yeah.
Because if he was talking to a prostitute or something and he says, what'd you do last weekend? I don't know if he would ever ask that, but like, what'd you do last weekend? He's like, oh, I slept around with all these guys. Like, what did he say at that point? Did he call her out? Did he ask how her heart is? Like,
totally.
Because I have non-believers in my life where, like, I know that they partied all last weekend. Okay, so I'm not going to support that. What do I talk about?
Well, we have the example, I think, at the woman at the well. And I think that Jesus doesn't approach, I don't even, and I could be wrong, I don't think Jesus blatantly says anything. The woman comes to the conclusion on her own in the story. And Jesus kind of pries it out of her a little bit.
Yeah, he asks the right questions.
He asks the right questions.
But the benefit that he has is that he knows he's God.
Right. But I'm saying that for relational health, I think it's all about when we're in relationships with other people, we need to ask the right questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of like, hey man, how you doing? Hey bro, what's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, hey, how are you doing? Yeah. Like, and really, like, what's going on? How's your relationship with God? I think it's all about the right questions, and you're going to get to those places quicker, because I think naturally, especially as guys, we are, you know, okay, sorry, this is going to be a knock against guys, but I'm the same way. We instinctively just lie when someone says, how's it going? And we go, we're good, I'm good, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Instead of going, this is how I'm really doing, but people don't ask the right questions because we think, oh, they're just asking because that's what you do. You walk up to somebody, you go, hey, what's up? Or how's it going? But like a guy like Jeremiah is very intentional about how he asks, how are you doing? He'll close my office door and go, hey, how are things going? How is things going with
that's
you?
That's why he's a spiritual formation.
That's why. And he also practices relational health. And I think that's why Jesus gets it with the woman at the well. Yes, he's God and he knows all things. But I think he probes the right questions too.
Well, and I think we have a lot of information that maybe people in the past haven't had. I mean, if you went to those people's websites or Facebooks or whatever, or Twitter accounts, you have a lot of access to a lot of information. It almost feels like we're Jesus, kind of, because people expose themselves quite a bit on like the internet. Mm-hmm. And so you can go and you know how someone's doing by their status updates, by their pictures, by all of those things. And I think a lot of times, like when I don't want to know how someone's doing, but I know that I should want to know how they're doing, I neglect a lot of information that's at hand so that, like, because there's a huge sense of obligation within community to say, like, hey, how are you doing? And I'm going to listen compassionately and have, like, and be there for you. And that is a lot of work. And I think that a lot of times we like to come up with, like, excuses for ourselves of, like, you know, I don't know, so I'm just going to say how you're doing and then move on. And, you know, we don't put as much effort into community or in relationships as we should.
Yeah.
Especially with the stuff, we don't use our resources as wisely as we could.
Yeah, because if I see someone in, like, on Facebook or whatever, and they check in at this bar and this bar or whatever, like, I already know kind of how they're doing, like, if they're posting drunk pictures or whatever. And so when I go ask, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing really great.
Right.
You know,
but you already know.
But you don't want to say that. You don't want to go, I saw something on Facebook. You want to ask the right questions and you want to engage with them and you want to practice relational health before you get to that spot with them.
For sure.
And, you know, something that we can touch on for a little bit is just this whole idea of inclusive community and what does that realistically look like, especially for believers? I don't know if it says it in the primer or not, but when you think about inclusive communities, I just think about the Christian Camelots in a sense that we create and we are our own Christian bubble.
It does say
Christian,
that in the primer.
It does. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I thought I read it in there. Yeah. You know, I want to get away from, you know, Christian Camelots. I think when you work at a church, it's just like that's what happens almost sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I just Brad didn't necessarily touch on it. He used the Pharisees as an example of that a little bit, but I just think that that's something that's really dangerous, is instead of being inclusive with the community around us, we've essentially created our own exclusive community. You know what I mean? And said, well, our life group's closed. Sorry.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know what that may be. I only hang out with these friends or whatever. And I've struggled with that a lot with my friends as a group of guys, just going, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, have one more person go on this trip or whatever. And it's like, well, but you know, we don't really know him that well and be good for him or whatever. It's just one of those things where I feel like I create these Christian subcultures, and I'm like, yeah, no, like I need to be inclusive with all things. And
The line and the balance that, like, I found there's tension, especially with the primer and the whole inclusive community, is where, like, because I have girls that I don't share all of myself with everybody. So,
totally.
Like, if I'm, you know, have a life group of five girls that I share everything with, I don't want anyone else in there. Not because I don't want to include people, because it's not safe for you to go share your soul to anyone that wants to come in. So there has to be, like,
home base. There has to be home base.
Right. Like, Jesus had his 3 and then he had his 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's okay for us to have our, you know, people that we share things with, and we can meet with them and keep that, like, protected, but make sure you are being inclusive in every other area.
Well, that's why I think that if you look at the anatomy of a disciple circles, mm-hmm. you have to have relational health with people first. So mm-hmm. you have to have relational health with your family, with some of your close friends, and because therefore you can be in an inclusive community. So Jesus had relational health with his 12 mm-hmm. or his 3, and that enabled him, that allowed him to be part of a greater community of people and crowds and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, and I think the issue is not in, like, having home base and having an external, like, you know, the people outside of that. I think the problem comes in if Jesus spent all of his time with Peter, James, and John, and then when he went out to preach, he spent his time with Peter, James, and John, and when he went to mm-hmm. eat, he spent his time with Peter, James, and John. You know, like, I think that's where we kind of miss the whole point of it, is like, okay, so you have your life group, your 5 girls. Well, outside of that one time that you meet, and maybe you meet for lunch or whatever, like, who else are you spending your time with? Mm-hmm. But a lot of times with girls especially, is we find our niche, we find our person, our people, and we do everything mm-hmm. with just those people. And they become not only the people that I meet with to tell my stuff to, but they become the people I go to church with. They become the people that I eat with. They become the people that I hang out with on a Friday night. They mm-hmm. become the people that watch my house. Like, they become they become everything.
Totally.
And I think that's where we have issues, is that that's not inclusive community. That tends to get really unhealthy fast.
That's exclusive community.
Wait, that's exclusive community. But I mean, and that's, I see that in my life, because I get comfortable with people and I'm a creature of habit and I really like my friends. And I, you know, Sarah and I have gone through this where like Sarah and I have spent, like, we are this inclusive group where Sarah knows everything about my life. I know nothing about Sarah's life. But then outside of that, if I'm only hanging out with Sarah, then where's my community?
Right. No, totally. And I think that's a good place to end, Megan. And I think if you haven't heard this week's message, or you're not involved in community, I think at The Well, we kind of say, look, get involved in community. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a big push we have. So,
and I was just saying, and chat, like, think through the people that are in your life, your inner circle, and ask yourself, like, are you raising the bar for your, like, are you calling each other to greatness? Are you, like, asking?
Is there relational health?
Yeah. And are you, you know, asking each other to be better for the Lord and for Christ, because that's the reason we have relationships, is to be edified and be more Christ-like. And if it's not edifying, then change it.
For sure. Well, good word, Sarah. We're going to close out there, and please enjoy some more Switchfoot. Up next, we'll do some news. All right.
Streams, even in my dreams, I am resting. the infinite, with the tears of saints and hypocrites. Oh, blood of black and white and gray, death and life and night and day.
And now the news with the Spoutcast crew.
All right, we are back with some news, and Kevin Tinkin is unable to make it today.
Boo!
I know, but we love him and we miss him. But Megan is here, so
hi,
it's a good second.
Yeah.
Hi. Megan, why don't you start us off with some of the somber news, and then we'll kind of move into dumb news.
I feel weird. This is the first time I like have been allowed to like.
I think it's good to bring up. I think it's obviously popular and go for it.
It's great. I'm so excited to share some news.
Go for it.
Although it's sad. This week we know that Steve Jobs has passed away. Mm-hmm. I used to work for Apple, so
you and Steve.
Me and Steve are like twins. Not at all. Actually, I mean, I don't really know what to say. It's a bummer that he passed away. It's a bummer that he battled with pancreatic cancer, and that's just, it's close to my heart. My grandpa died from pancreatic cancer, it's bummer news. I do feel a little weird about how glorified his death has been on Facebook and in other you know, venues, mediums throughout the internet.
I would agree.
I think it's a little strange that he is a man, and he. Yeah. It was not a very nice man to a lot of people, and he did amazing things though with his company and with you know, our lives are a lot easier because of Apple products, and that's something to celebrate. I think that he did change technology for, you know, forever. I did see a post that I thought was a little insensitive about the fact that he didn't know the Lord, and you know, I don't know where Steve is and what exactly he believed, but that is sad. And you know, this man who made such an impact on Earth may not have such a great impact in the afterlife, and that's something to think about. Just eternally, what you do on Earth is not necessarily what you reap in heaven. So, or in the after eternally. So that's a bummer.
I saw a blog from a guy he's a Christian guy. Anyways, he wrote about how Apple has impacted his ministry. And it was a really cool article about how God could use someone like who may not be a believer like Steve Jobs, but use his products and his all of his work for the kingdom. Like, even though Steve like may not have meant to work for the kingdom, but this guy's like, hey, our Apple products has allowed us to do this, and how God can redeem like even something that a sinful man is doing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Apple's motto within their company for their employees is to enrich lives. And it's so funny to me at the end of the day, like enriching someone's life with a teeny tiny iPhone or like a computer, like aluminum, you know, like it's so weird to enrich someone's life that way. And yet, you know, enriching someone's life to me means sharing Christ with them. And so I don't know if this is super cheesy or whatever, but we should be praying for people who change the world technologically and through a business and through all of like our leaders and stuff who don't know the Lord, because really it doesn't mean anything eternally. Mm-hmm. And that's sad, because this iPhone has literally changed the way that our lives are forever. And
Yeah, you have a technology advice. What's this called?
iPhone?
Device.
Oh my gosh.
You have a technology device that in one sense, Sarah, you said can be used to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And I also know that technology devices can also be used for lots and lots of sin in this world. And so it's like he created a two-headed monster in a sense, because yes, our lives are a lot simpler, but we also can access porn a lot easier. And, you know, we can also do a lot of other things that we don't never was inserted in our life. You know, I don't want to check my email at 7 o'clock at night, but instinctively I still check my phone at 7 o'clock at night. And so, like you said, be praying for the technology that is coming out and thinking through, like, all of the technology needs to be in some way redeemed towards God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's cool that a lot of new technology is able to advance the gospel easier, like with Skype and like the internet, and like just there's more. I mean, like what you said, it is a two-headed monster, but for the way that it is being used for good, it's pretty encouraging. So.
For sure.
So it's a bummer that he passed away, but prayers go out to his family and friends and people who work at Apple who are devastated by this news. And And hopefully that company gets transformed for the gospel.
Yeah,
yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah,
Someone the other day was like, the iPhone 4GS or whatever. Like, I mean, it's just
It's just called the iPhone 4S. No big deal.
She's counting down the moments until she gets one.
I just like, it's so funny because from the looks of it, it's like someone who has an iPhone 4, it just kind of goes, man, doesn't seem like that much of an upgrade, you know? And someone made like a funny, like a joke in the office that before they knew about Steve Jobs' death and was just kind of like, that was a dud. Like, just kind of like, that stunk, you know?
Have they met Siri? Have they seen?
I'm just saying it didn't sound super appealing. I bet you it's a lot cooler once you get the phone.
Did you look on NCAT? Did you follow the live like thing at all?
No.
Oh my gosh, you guys need to look it up. The Siri, the personal assistant, you literally can talk to your iPhone, say, how do I get home? And it'll give you directions to your house. Hey, I want to write this message. It's like the dictation.
Can you do can you do texting?
Yeah. You can send anything via voice, everything. It's like crazy.
I get an upgrade in November. I might do it.
You need to look into it. Because when I was watching it, I was like blown away. It's kind of creepy, but it's awesome.
It's iRobot.
It's like a robot.
iRobot.
Yeah.
We all know the ending of that movie.
No, I
don't. I never saw it.
Got a couple.
Remember the movie Almost Human I don't remember. It's about the android. It was the brother who's an actual robot.
All I can think of is that show with the Small World girl that like came off her back.
Do you guys remember the movie?
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
She wore a red dress. She was creepy.
I don't remember. Do you guys remember the movie with Robin Williams, Bicentennial Man?
No, I never saw it.
Yes.
Okay, so I had two roommates.
You remember Flubber?
That's Jeremiah's favorite movie.
Weird.
Okay, so Bicentennial Man, I have a roommate, his name was Tim, and I remember we were working together and Tim had the day off and I was working, and usually I always came home for lunch, okay? And I happened to come home on the lunch hour while he's watching Bicentennial Man. And if you've ever seen this movie, it's awful. It's such a bad movie. And the last like 10 minutes, it's really sad. And so I come walking into the house and my friend Tim is literally sobbing his eyes out. He's like, oh my God. And I come in and I'm like, Tim, what's wrong? And he's like, I love this movie. It's such a bad movie. All right. Well, let's transition into a couple news stories. Maybe we'll do two really quick ones. How's that sound? First news story. This came out of Florida and the title is Authorities Looking for a Cake Stealing Bear.
Okay.
I know it's kind of a lame story, but I think it's kind of funny that a bear would do this. Basically, wildlife authorities said they were on the hunt for a black bear who broke into a home and stole a birthday cake. Okay. So he actually stole the entire birthday cake.
I just imagine him holding it with his paws, like sneaking around,
you
looking behind
an iPhone?
Him.
Probably had an iPhone.
Where do I get a stolen cake?
Yeah. He got the like.
Yeah,
basically, a biologist was kind of trying to find this bear. And
a biologist?
That's what it says.
Not a zoologist?
It says a biologist.
Okay, whatever.
Basically, to kind of capture the bear, he had to follow the tracks of the cake.
Okay.
And so, like, from this house, they basically, the cake tracked him all the way to this garbage can.
Do you think he ate some of the cake on the way just to make sure?
Oh, the whole
cake
was gone.
No, I mean, do you think that, like, the cake trail? Do you think that the biologist ate some of the cake as he was walking?
I would have.
Probably. Hey, I want to just say this about bears really quick. Because
Speaking of bears,
I really have thought about this a lot lately.
Threat down.
We glorify bears in children's books. Teddy bear.
Brian Regan Burnton talks bears. About this.
Like, every child has a teddy bear. Bears are evil. And
well,
we like
watch,
teach our children, bears
gentle
are your
friends.
If you watch Colbert, Colbert, in most every time he does a bit called the threat down, bears are always number one. So they're
terrifying. I'm not going to let my kids have teddy bears because they're not nice. Why would I tell them they're nice?
Because
then I'm a liar.
Eventually they're going to figure out that you shouldn't go cuddle with a real bear. Like, they're not going to believe that forever.
Except the video of the panda bear that sneezes, the baby
right,
that sneezes.
Right, it's super cute. That panda will eat your face off.
I know. Let me get to the next one.
Or the polar bear with the Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
That would smash that on your face, you know?
And then eat you.
And then eat you.
Well, I'll try and bring in a bear story each week to make
bears
sound
like and scary.
No, yeah, bring in bears so then we can have accurate stories. And
right. And then
sharing.
I'm going to recreate children's stories to teach my children that bears are terrifying.
I'm not letting my children over to your house for story time.
Why? Because they'll know the truth?
No, because they'll have nightmares.
Well?
You guys want to do one more story or you want to keep dialoguing about bears?
No,
let's do one more story. All right. We're over bears.
So I went back and forth talking about this, but I wish Kevin was here, but I decided to bring it up anyways. But anyways, in Florida, both of these stories came out of Florida, just so you guys know.
A lot of weird stories come out of Florida.
I would agree. There's a game out there called Germany or Florida, and you read a story and you go, you guys guess, is it from Germany or Florida?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Most real story, weird stories come from either Florida or Germany.
Oh,
so,
I love that.
You just got to take the names out of it and like places.
I want to play that game.
Well, I'll bring it next week. Let's play some Germany or Florida.
Awesome.
All right.
Perfect.
So, this is strange, but whatever. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of dwarf tossing. Do you guys know what dwarf tossing is?
I can only imagine. On the Ocho from a dodgeball.
Okay, so this is a real thing that goes on.
They throw midgets.
They throw midgets as a sport.
Like catapulted?
No,
like a
strongman competition.
Oh my gosh!
And the person who can throw them the farthest wins. Okay.
What happens to the midget?
The midget is wearing helmets. And anyways, in Florida, there's been a ban on dwarf tossing. Like, you cannot practice it in Florida. And a lawmaker.
Spoilers of fun over there.
Jeb Bush.
A Florida lawmaker essentially said, I want to repeal this. Like, I want to reinstate dwarf tossing in Florida. And so he basically filed a lawsuit against the ban and kind of said that I would like to repeal this and I would like to have it reinstated in bars. So having dwarf tossing happen only
with
in bars.
Drunk people.
Wow.
Well, that's typically the type of people that do it, but I just thought this was really funny. I just thought, man,
gosh,
I know.
Of all the things in the world that we could be making laws about.
Well, it's already been banned.
Well,
Florida.
Okay, we could be repealing laws about. I mean, let's be honest.
So I do not recommend you. I did not know what it was, so I YouTubed it. I do not recommend it. I was like, what? People do this for a sport?
Do you recommend YouTubing it?
I do not recommend YouTubing it.
Oh, why? What?
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Don't YouTube
support it. Don't YouTube
it.
Don't
support
watch it.
It's not
terrifying.
I mean, you may chuckle at it, but it's like one of those things where you're like, this is sad. Like, this is a sad thing that we as Americans do.
Do they just get paid a lot? Why would they sign up for this?
It's like dog fighting or whatever that may be. You bet on it. You see you can throw the farthest.
No, I mean, but like dogs don't get money in the end. Do the dwarfs get money?
Yes, the dwarves get money. Okay. I mean, everybody gets paid. So it's a sport. And they want to repeal the ban on it. So
this to each is their own.
Way
yeah,
to go
so
Florida.
We had an eclectic group of stories here today.
To be the most awesome state.
Well, thanks for joining us for the news. I'm bummed Kevin's not here. But
me too.
Next week we will play a round of Germany or Florida. How does that
sound?
I can't wait.
All right, deal. Kevin, I'll bring the stories. You bring the fun. If you're listening.
And Sarah and I will bring.
What has this been? This has been
you
fun.
You guys bring the funny. Kevin brings the fun.
I think it's more he brings the funny, we bring the fun.
All right, deal.
I'll bring the nerds.
All right, up next we've got an interview with Jared Young, and we will do our one and why to close it out, but enjoy some more Switchfoot.
Put your hands up, open wide. Put your hands up side by side. Age don't matter, like race don't matter, like place don't matter, like what's inside. Let the kick drum kick one time. Breathe out, let your mind unwind. Eyes on the ceiling, looking for the feeling. Wide open, let your own eyes shine. Yeah, it's where the fight begins. Yeah, underneath the skin. Beneath these hopes and where we've been. Every fight comes from the fight.
We are back, and we are back with someone who I've just recently got to know a little bit better, Jared Young. Jared, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Jared, welcome to the Spoutcast.
Thank you.
Yes, we usually ask all of our guests this question first and foremost. Do you listen to the Spoutcast?
Not as often as I probably should.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. That means no.
No, not. I'm not a regular listener.
But you have listened before.
But you have listened before.
I have listened
that
before.
Makes you, are you a fan on Facebook? I think
I
you know. Are, actually.
I don't keep track of my fan
No,
pages.
You know, I think you are. Right. I think you are. I saw you at it the other day.
Christian memorizes the fan list, the roster.
Hacked into mine.
But
and
the episodes you've listened to, have you enjoyed?
Of course.
Okay, that's all I want to hear.
I haven't, like, thrown my computer across the room.
All right. I have many times.
Have you? With other podcasts?
Yeah.
Maybe.
This is awful.
Yeah.
I'm going to break my $1,000 computer.
Caught me, I need another computer. for those of you guys who don't know, Jared is kind of quasi-well-staffed. You are well-staffed, sort of.
Not really.
Extended family,
extended
sort
family.
Of.
You have a space in the office.
Yeah.
He's also the winner of
the Race Room Challenge
that
we had as a staff. So,
champion.
So Jared, why don't you kind of give us your story, what you do at the Well, for the Well, and kind of your role in the extended family of the Well and in missions as well. So,
all right. My wife, Jessica, and I, we are missionaries, and we're with the organization New Tribes Mission. Mm-hmm. And our goal with the organization is to plant a church where the gospel has no access currently.
Right.
And so we're planning on moving to Thailand this coming January and start the long, arduous process of that. And so we...
And that's a long, like how
many
year
process? It's a career choice for
okay.
us. So we're either coming home due to medical or in a casket kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of our end goal, and the process of that is learning two languages, both the trade language and the tribal language, and then translating the Bible and also translating our teaching lessons so that we can present Christ from creation to Christ in a chronological manner.
Okay. And so I remember a while back you said something to the Well, but there's so for the first 2 years, all you do is learn language.
Right.
And then, so what's kind of that path that you'll take when you're there?
Yeah, when we move there, we'll we won't be in a school. Like, typically, you learn language in a school here in the American mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hire a guy, and so we'll have a language helper, a language teacher for us that will come to our house for, like, 2 hours a day, and we'll sit down and do language sessions that we build for him to teach us. And we'll do that for probably 2 to 3 years until we're considered fluent.
Now, are you going to meet up with other believers that are already there? Or are you going on your own and you're not joining a team, or are you going as the team?
Yes and no. We will be joining a team there that's already in place. We have leadership and everything that's already in place in New Tribes. The thing that we'll be doing by ourselves is basically the language learning.
Mm.
We meet regularly with other missionaries that are there, that are with our organization and other organizations. We will be getting plugged into a local church as well to help enable those believers to reach their own people, because there's not that kind of sense of urgency in the Thai church as of now.
So why Thailand?
Why Thailand? Because we were originally going to Cambodia, and there were some government pressures for people getting visas, religious affairs visas. And so our leadership decided to shut that field down for any incoming missionaries. So we took a step back. And Thailand it was a godsend. It kind of just came to us based on the response of leadership. We contacted like 4 fields, and Thailand got back to us within 12 hours, and we really appreciated that. And then looking at it from a big picture perspective, the Well goes there once or twice a year, and so we can keep those relationships going.
So when they go out to Thailand for their mission trips, are they going to connect with you guys out there?
Yes. Once we're thinking of that kind of route, it'll definitely be smaller teams, because the 16 to 20 people teams are a little overwhelming for our situation.
Okay.
So we're thinking possibly 3 to 6 people to come, possibly help build our house when we move into a tribe or stuff like that.
What part of Thailand will you be in?
We'll be in Chiang Mai. It's in the northwest region near Burma and Laos. It's the city that the Well actually flies into when they do their stuff with ITDP.
So go for it.
Well, I just wondering where is that in relation to Bangkok?
It's north. Bangkok is now near the south, near the sea of Thailand there, and it'll be in the north. I don't know, It's like an hour and a half flight north.
Okay.
I don't really know by driving.
Now, you mentioned, and if you've been to the Well for a while, you've probably been to some of the, you know, Well desserts, Missions mm-hmm. desserts, or you've seen, you know, Missions when they come up on stage and we pray for them or whatever. What is kind of your involvement as far as like, we are sending you as an extended family of the Well. What does that mean for somebody who might not understand that language?
I would say for us, it's getting plugged in into like, especially a life group. So we can have people come around us and support us while we're gone.
Okay.
And by support, I don't mean just finances, because
right.
we often just trail towards that. But I mean like in prayer, doing a Skype call once a week, see mm-hmm. how we're doing, not just spiritually, but physically and emotionally and all that that comes with that. But for us, we've spoken at a lot of life groups
mm-hmm.
And just exposed people to what we're actually doing, because it is a little bit different. It's not your 2-week building trip or something
right,
like that.
Right,
so
right.
it's a little bit.
And when we had lunch the other day, mm-hmm. you had said you really found a life group where you feel like there's community happening right
yes.
now. Yes. And so you feel like going in January, you're feeling that support from your life group and just feeling like, man, these are the people that are going to check in with us and see how we're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And this life group that we're in now, it's just been overwhelmingly exciting to be yeah. a part of a group where I get basically a text message a day now with different guys checking in on how I'm doing
nice.
Or sharing verses or what we're going through. And that's getting me back into the word more and,
right.
and praying more.
That's great.
Consequentially. So.
And I think it's you're in a much better spot because of it to then go to Thailand. You know?
Totally. Yeah. We're not going blank, you know, and just depending on the people that are there to keep us spiritually formed. Like we're looking at our, I would say core team or home team here
right.
within life groups.
Now, kind of the next couple month process, you said January, so we've kind of got, I guess, 2.5 months basically.
Yeah.
I know you've been doing some like Chick-fil-A fundraisers and whatnot.
Yeah.
What can, what do you want to communicate, I guess, to the Spoutcast listeners out there? And what do we want to communicate is how can we support you? How yeah. can we, through this whole process, being praying for you even over these next 2.5 months, like what does this next 2.5 months look like? And then how can Spoutcast listeners at all be involved in that?
All right. Well, for the next 2 months, Jess and I, we're actually trying something. We're being guinea pigs now for extended family. We're actually going to Link Care, which is like a counseling center for missionaries
yeah.
specifically.
My wife, I think, wanted to apply there.
Okay.
Because she's doing practicum stuff, and I think she was going to apply at Link Care once she's done.
Yeah, and it's a great resource, and we actually just today had our first session with them and
nice.
To just do some pre-field counseling.
Nice.
Get those, I guess, skeletons in the closet out before we get into a place where it's spiritually dark. And it's 98% Buddhist there.
Yeah.
So that'll be really used against us if we don't flesh that stuff out now. So that's the kind of 2 months leading up to that is what we're doing in our personal life.
Nice.
For ministry-wide, I would say we're not really doing any more fundraisers. We've kind of reached the one-time cost goal, in a sense, for us, like our moving cost to buy a car, house, all that
right.
stuff for when we move. I think support-wise, what we're looking for now is a consistent monthly financial support
okay.
in terms of the money side of support. And I don't know, it doesn't have to be $1,000 a month or whatever.
Right.
You know, we have people that support us from 15 all the way to 240 a month. And we've just been overwhelmed by who shows up to do that.
And I believe that if you do want to support on the Wells Extended Family page, you can get to your guys' link on there. We'll
totally.
Post a link on this show for
okay.
it. But I believe I was checking that out today. You can do that
yeah,
that way.
And we also have a blog that's set up as well.
And there's a link to that blog through there, I believe.
Yeah, youngsplace.com if
yeah.
people don't know about it yet. But we have that. We also have like a prayer team that's set up that we send out specific prayer requests that aren't posted on like Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, that we send out once a month for those people to pray for us specifically in certain areas of our life.
Nice.
We would like to speak to more life groups and just expose people to what we're actually doing, mm-hmm. go into it more in depth and get those questions that everybody has, you know, about long-term missions.
Could you talk just a little bit about how you got involved with New Tribes and people who are interested in New Tribes? Did you go through the New Tribes school?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually got into New Tribes because of my wife.
Okay.
She was involved in a ministry in Mexico for a year called Caravan. And through that,
I did Caravan.
Did you really?
Yeah. Well,
it was years ago, like 2002 or so.
She was probably one of my leaders.
Probably.
How funny.
She was exposed to new tribes while she was there through a guy named Brad Buser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew Brad because of Hume.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just a backstory on that, she was deciding between new tribes and frontiers. Sat on the beach down there, flipped a coin, and decided New Tribes. And so that's kind of how I ended up in New Tribes. I met her while I was in the Air Force, and God really called me while I was exposed to the Bible school at that time to get out of the military. We got married and then went back to Bible school after she got out a little bit. And so,
were you in the Midwest?
Yeah, we went to the Bible school that's in Jackson, Michigan, and there's also one in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And so for the Bible school, you do 2 years of Bible school, and that's from Genesis to Revelation for 5 hours a day, and it's intense. It's like academy on steroids and residency included. It's quite intense, but it's a lot of fun, and you get to grow in your head knowledge, and the practical stuff of that, I think, comes after, and I don't know. For me, that's how it was. And then after the Bible school, you go to a thing called the Missionary Training Center. And that's where you learn the practical side of missions, the church planning, the relationship building and keeping of that, and especially in extra cult, like other cultures and stuff like that. And so you can either go to Missouri, but we chose the one in Canada. And so we were in our Missionary Training Center was in Canada, 2 hours north of Toronto, and it was in a town of 1,500 people. So, like, it was like going to Buchanan High.
Right.
Today's Canadian Thanksgiving.
I know. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I love Canada.
Well, you know, Jared, we want to push people towards the website. So, what's a place where they can find you at? Your blog?
Oh, our blog, yeah. Youngsplace.com.
Youngsplace.com. Mm-hmm. We'll post a link to the extended family thing on our website as well. We'd love for you to stick around to do our one and why in the next segment. Do you mind doing that?
I don't mind at all.
Jared, let's have you stick around for next. Up next, we'll do a one and why, and we'll close out the show with some announcements and enjoy some more
Switchfoot.
Like you're ready to pay. Got your eyes out of socket, like you're a mile away. Mouth shut like a locket, like you're nothing to say. Speak your mind up, come on baby, free yourself. Ain't no one to do it, free yourself. Ain't nothing to it, free yourself.
All right, we are back, and Jared, personally, I didn't feel comfortable doing the one and why. I thought, you know, the last segment just needed to end it how it is. Yep. And I want to do the one on one now about what our favorite comedian is and why. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We could tie it into, like, you know, having fun on the mission field. And it, there's joy and laughter there.
Nice try, Sarah.
You know, I'm trying to connect.
I don't know if there is a connection.
No.
I don't think there is.
And that's why it's just better to do it this segment before we close it out. But yeah. Jared, why don't you tell us who your favorite comedian is and why? Give us, you know, a short explanation. Yeah. And
I'm going to go with Jerry Seinfeld right now off the top of my head. Because that his Broadway album just resonates with me. It has like a sentimental value to it for me. It just, those jokes, I feel like I enjoy comedy that's really clean and original. And I feel like he really hits that mark.
Yeah.
When he talks about just everyday stuff and they could pull things out of that. I think he really,
he's an observant comedian.
He really is. And yes. I really enjoy that. And I don't think he plays up the fact that he is that he is funny. Like, no. He kind of dumbs it down almost.
Right. I wish he would return. I really do. I mean, yeah. I really enjoyed
his, like, best bits that he did on, I don't know, he released those a little while ago on Twitter. Or Facebook or
his
whatever.
His new website, yeah.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that because it was just like, oh, some of these clips are just amazing.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Megan, hit us with your one and why.
Okay, my one and why is complicated because I'm complicated. Great. But, you know, it's really hard because I think, you know, a lot of people have taken themselves out of the comedian, like, name and moved into, like, they're a talk show host. They are the writer of this. They are this. And so they're not comedians anymore. So I had a hard time figuring out, like, are they still considered comedians or not? I wanted to be like,
For instance, you know, Jay Leno. I mean, that guy used to be the number one stand-up comedian in the world, and now he's kind of a comedian, but he's more just a talk show host.
Right.
You know what
and
I mean?
Same with Conan.
I mean, look at Jimmy Fallon. Like, and
And Adam Sandler is like, he's an actor. Like,
right.
Is he a comedian? Is Tracy Morgan a comedian? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, like, there, I mean, SNL, I really love SNL. I love Kristen Wiig and... I love Tina Fey.
Keenan Thompson.
Keenan McKell.
All right. Keep going.
But like, I don't know that I love Kristen Wiig and Tina Fey and them. But I would say that if I could go back to who my favorite comedian is, it would be Conan.
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien. And I know you don't like him. And we talked on the phone about this. And I said, Christian, you're not gonna like my one and why.
Have you seen Conan Can't Stop or whatever the thing is? His latest movie.
The documentary.
I actually have not.
It's really good.
It's interesting. It's a good human. Like study case for like what the road does to people or what television does to people.
Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
It is. And I'm really excited. And I remember when that was one of my
most anticipated
films or whatever. And I saw it this summer. I never saw it.
Yeah. It's really good. It's on Netflix. You can catch it. It's slightly inappropriate, but it's good.
And it's sad though at the same time.
I just think he's hilarious. But I will say this about Conan. A lot of his like bits on like, there's a lot of inappropriate ones, like sexual ones that I don't like. Like I like when he's just being Conan. Like I don't like the other stuff.
Like his mannerisms are funny.
Yeah, his mannerisms are funny. Same with Kristen Wiig. Her mannerisms are funny. She's funny. I think probably Tina Fey has the wittiest humor.
Mm-hmm. She's the smartest humor.
But I just, you know, whatever.
Conan, I don't think that Conan's not funny. I just think that we've blown this whole late night thing way out of
proportion. Right, but I just want to say it's eighth grade. Since eighth grade.
Great. That's great. All
right.
Sarah, one and why?
I got two, so sorry.
two and why?
You're forgiven.
Yeah. I know. Okay. Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Just because everything he does is funny. Yeah. I mean, he's had a few movies that are like, bleh. In the toilet, but a lot of what he does.
I think all of his movies are funny.
Some of them I've like. I've just been
Land of the Lost. I think it's hilarious.
Never saw. Never saw.
All right, keep going.
Okay. And Brian Regan because Brian Regan. He is family friendly. Every now and then he like overdoes a joke and he carries it on too far, but he's always clean. And we still listen to it at church and just really good memories with Brian Regan. Can always count on a good laugh.
There you go.
There you go.
A while ago, you guys remember we did, who would we like to have dinner with, sit and have a meal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember this?
Stephanie Momery wrote in and said me.
That's right. And my meal that I wanted to have was with Jimmy Fallon. Okay.
Yes.
Now I don't necessarily think Jimmy Fallon is my favorite comedian. Okay. I think Jimmy Fallon is a great guy, a great talk show host, but he's not my favorite comedian. So I just want to get that out of the way here, okay? Because I think people
So glad you said your piece.
I know. But I'm going to go with who I think is the, in my opinion, one of the, probably the best working comedian today and has been my favorite probably for the last 4 years. And I believe he's quasi-appropriate as you...
I am like so... You're building this guy up so much. Like, I'm hoping it's someone good because I don't want to have a bad reaction.
My one and why is Stephen Colbert. And he's not a stand-up guy. He doesn't go and do stand-up shows. But my thought process behind a comedian is if they're quick and if they don't need Stephen Colbert relies a lot on his writers, but without his writers, he's equally as good. If you've heard the the George Washington address, the State of the whatever address, State of the Nation address that he gives a speech for, it's unbelievable. And Colbert is just, he is very smart without his writers, and he can just come up with things on the dime. His interviews are some of the most entertaining things to watch on his television show.
That is one of the, that's one of the best shows on television.
Right.
And so, he even tweets really funny.
His Twitters are super
funny. And they're always appropriate.
Yeah.
I'm like blown away, Christian, that I could not agree with you more. I almost want to take away my answers because I agree with yours more.
Well, sorry.
And that is the first time first time I think this has ever happened in the history of One and Why is that I agree with you.
Well, I'll read.
It's a beautiful moment.
I know. It is a good moment. Wow. I'll read some emails here. We got our friend Brandon Sabo and faithful listener. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, Spout Crew, gotta go with Stephen Wright. Why? Because the dude is out there. His delivery is so dry, but his timing is perfect. The king of one-liners. I've heard of Stephen Wright, actually. He's very dry. Very like, okay. All right. He's funny, though. He says, you can't have everything. Where would you put it? Or he says, got a humidifier and a dehumidifier for my birthday. Put them in the same room, and I let him fight it out. Then this is a joke I've heard from him before. The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. So just like smart observations. Like, I think it's funny. All right?
I don't get that second one.
The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese.
Because the first mouse is dead, and then the cheese falls off, and the other mouse gets it. Yeah.
Okay.
So he also says, honorable mention, Jerry Seinfeld and Brian Regan. So keep up the good work, Sabo. And Sarah, I believe you have an email as well.
I do. And it's from our very own engineer, Dave Johnson. Hey, it's so hard just to pick one favorite comedian. Top three would be Jerry Seinfeld, Mitch Hedberg, and Mike Birbiglia. I guess if I would have to just pick one, it would be Seinfeld, although his style doesn't really seem to be appreciated anymore. Ah, well. And this is from Seinfeld. You know what I love about Chinese people? They're staying with the sticks. They've seen the fork. I respect that. So
Sarah's a racist.
Everyone's a little bit racist sometimes.
Drum roll, please, because Megan and Wes, there
are
is
reunited.
A reunion.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
So read your email here, Megan.
Hi, Wes. He says, hey, all. My favorite comedian, as odd as it is Eddie Izzard. He is really bizarre, but hilarious. I'm going to share my least favorite comedian with you, too. I really, really dislike Brian Regan. I might get chastised for this, but I don't care. I don't know how he got popular. All he seems to do is make a statement, get really loud, and act like an idiot, and people eat it up. Not my Achilles heel. Heather, my fiance, loves him. Therefore, I love him. Dang it. Have a great week, guys. Wes. I couldn't agree with him more.
I feel like Brian Regan does what Dane Cook can't do. And I think they're the same type of comedian, and Brian Regan gets it, and Dane Cook doesn't.
Dane Cook is skinny, and Brian Regan is on the heavier side.
I don't think Brian Regan is that funny. Are funny. Everything I've ever seen. And same with Jim Gaffigan.
Hey, let's not step on each other's points.
No, they're not funny.
All right, let's close out the show here, Sarah.
I'd rather watch the Redneck Tour with, like, what's-his-face, Jeff Foxworthy.
Gross. We will actually pass out a T-shirt. Next week, we'll go back to the giving a prize away every other week. So Sabo, Wes, and Dave Johnson, you guys are in it to win.
I hope Wes wins because I like his answers the best.
All right, Sarah, why don't you close us out with some announcements?
we don't have a ton of stuff going on. We are still having life groups. We're no longer really doing the whole semester thing. You can jump into a life group whenever you want, and we're going to have new life groups being launched all year long. So if you are interested in joining one, please let us know, and we can get one started if there's not one open for you already. So that's always an option. And... was there anything else, Christian?
Like just plug in Jared's website.
And yeah, don't forget, go to the Young's Place. Is it theyoungsplace.com?
No, just Young's Place.
Just youngsplace.com to check out what the Youngs are up to in Thailand.
Right, and don't forget to check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/thespoutcast or facebook.com/spoutcast. Email us with our one and why for next week, and our one and why for next week is going to be, our city we'd like to live the one city we'd like to live in outside of the U.S.
Oh,
so Jared's going to be living in Thailand. And I mean, that's obviously a bit of God's calling for you guys in your life. But for us, we will be discussing our one city we'd like to live outside of the U.S. and why. And you can email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com or call or text us. Nobody calls or texts us anymore. I'm going to cancel the number if nobody calls us in this
next
week.
That's not much of a threat.
Why would you cancel it?
559-321-7768 or 6868 or 321-77 or spout. 321-SPOUT. I'm crazy.
Spout.
Well, this is The Spout. Jared, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We are out.
Tasted fire, I'm ready to come alive. I can't just shut it up and fake that I'm alright. I'm ready now, I'm not waiting for